So if this is the case, that everybody is entitled to enter paradise, then everybody should be happy. But everybody should think good about Allah. Everybody should expect that great reward Allah has prepared for the believers. Because if you do remember, the hadith says, nobody who has said La ilaha illallah with Islam, he was not forced to say it. But he said it after he was convinced there's no God but Allah. If you are convinced that there's no God but Allah and you say Kalimatu Shahada and it enters your heart, even if it is very, very small as Zara, you're already entitled to enter paradise. And the hadith says, nobody says it and fire will touch his body. Fire has been made haram upon the body of the person who says La ilaha illallah. If you said it with ikhlas and you repeatedly say it, then you will not enter hellfire. And therefore, on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put up the line, 1,000 people in every line, 999 may be from Ya'juj and Ma'juj, from those who disobeyed Allah and they did not qualify to enter paradise. But the one with La ilaha illallah will be the one to be picked up from 1,000 to enter paradise. That is the good news. We should make everybody happy. But the Sahaba, before they got this explanation, everybody felt very worried. And if you do remember, there is a hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوْ لَمْ تَذْنِبُوا لَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ خَلْقًا يَذْنِبُونَ فَيُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ. Rasulullah said, if nobody is to commit any sin, everybody is purified, everybody is very good, obedient to Allah, Allah will destroy you. And he will create another type of people who commit the sins and remember him. Why? Because the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made for the people who have committed injustice. They are supposed to be punished. Then Allah sends his rahmah. And if it is not because of the rahmah of Allah, none of us will be living. Because if you don't remember the hadith we read, it is stated that if it is not because of the rahmah of Allah, a kafir, a disbeliever in Allah, wouldn't get even a drop of water. But they get, and they get more than that. It's because of rahmah. This long hadith says, Inna Allah ta'ala, Inna lillahi mi'atu rahmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got 100 rahmah. 100 rahmah, which is mercy. These are the parts. If you have to put them in the in parts, you divide them. They are 100 altogether. Iddakala minha indahu tis'an wa tis'ina rahmah wa azhara minha fi dunya rahmatan wahida. He has retained out of 100, 99 he retained it. And he gave only one to the dunya. We who are living in the dunya from the day Allah created this world until it will end, we are living on one rahmah. It is this one portion of rahmah based on which the mother will be merciful to her child. And the animals, they will be merciful to their children. فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, when the day of Qiyamah will come, ضَمَّ هَذِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ إِلَى التِّسْعُ وَالتِّسْعِينَ ثُمَّ بَسَطَهَا عَلَى جَمِيعِ خَلْقِهِ وَكُلُّ رَحْمَةٍ مِنْهَا تِبَاقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. On the day of judgment, Allah is going to take away this one rahmah. Before the end of the world, Allah will take away this one rahmah and it will be added to the 99. So 100 rahmah will be taken by him. And this is 100 rahmah Allah is going to depend upon to judge the people on the day of rahmah, on the day of judgment. The hadith says, on that day of judgment, فَلَا يُهْلِكُ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ إِلَّا هَالِكُ, nobody will be destroyed except the one who will actually deserve to be destroyed. And one rahmah of Allah here, 99, they are like kibaka. Kibaka is stated also in Surah Al-Muluk that the heavens have been created kibaka, one is above the other. Seven heavens, the first one is the one which is near to the dunya, by the Easter. Above it is the second heaven, the third, until the seventh heaven where Allah is. Now each rahmah is kibaka, meaning just like the heavens, from the first heaven to the second heaven, tibaka, that is the distance. So if you say tibaka, it is a very long distance indeed. Who knows the distance between the first heaven and the second, or between the dunya and the first heaven? It's a very long distance. Between one rahmah And another rahma is that particular distance, which is too big. And everybody, every human being who has been created by Allah can see it in this space. Nobody can reach the heaven if you are to bring all of them together from Adam alayhi salam. But his rahmat in Tibaka and the 100 altogether, meaning they go beyond the seven heavens even. For this reason, Allah is going to bring all 100 together on the day of judgment and to judge you. You can imagine how the judgment is going to be. Everybody will deserve to be punished because we have committed wrong things. But one hadith says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day is going to bring the believer and he will show him what he did. You see, this day you did this. You see, and you remember. On this day you did this, and you remember. After he has shown you whatever you've done, you are convinced beyond doubt that you are going to hell fire. Because what you've done is so great. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I've forgiven you for all these things you've committed. I've forgiven you. He's forgiving you because it is 100 rahmah complete together on that day of judgment. So those who end up in hellfire, as Rasulullah said, فَلَا يَحْرِكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ إِلَّا هَلِكُ. The one who will be destroyed that day will suffer the punishment, will really deserve to suffer the punishment. I don't think anyone who has believed in Allah and the last day here will be punished on that day. Unless you really don't believe in that kind of rahmah which has been stated in this particular hadith. We do have a hadith which is stated by Baghwi in Musnad. He says, دَخَلْتُ مَسْجِدُ الْمَدِينَةِ فَنَادَانِ الشَّيْكُمْ فَقَالَ يَا يَمَامِيُّ تَعَالِ وَمَا أَعْرِفُهُ فَقَالَ لَا تَقُولَنَّ لِرَجْلُ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لَكَ. He says, I entered a masjid. This particular reporter of this hadith, he says, I entered the Masjid al-Madinah, which means Masjid al-Nabawi, and an old man called me and he asked me, he told me, La taqulanna lirajul, never say to anybody that wallah, Allah will never forgive you. Never say that statement. Why? Wala yudkhiluka al-jannah, you should never say that Allah will never give you paradise. Fakultu, and I said, وَمَنْ أَنْتَ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ. And who are you? Who is telling me this? May Allah have mercy on you. قال أبو هريرة. This particular person said, my name is Abu Huraira. قال فَقُلْتُ إِنَّ هَذِهِ لَكَلِمَةٌ يَقُولُهَا أَحَدٌ لِبَعْضِنَا أَهْلُهُ إِذَا غَضِبْ أَوْ لِزَوْجَتِهِ أَوْ لِخَادِمِهِ. He said, this is something which we always say to our wife. When we get angry with our wife, we say, Allah will not forgive you. You will never see Jannah. And when we get angry with our servants, the maids, we say, Allah will never forgive you. You will be a person of hellfire. Abu Huraira said, فَإِنِّي سَمِيتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Surely I have heard the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّ رَجُلَيْنِ كَانَا فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ مُتَحَبَّيْنِ. There are used to be two persons, two men, during the time of Israel, meaning during that time, the children of Israel, they loved one another. أحدهما مجتهد في العبادة. One of them used to do a lot of عبادة. والآخر كأنه يقول مذنب. Another one used to commit the evil. He never inclined himself towards the عبادة. فجعل يقول. He used always to say, أكثر أكثر أما أنت فيه. The good one used always to remind the bad one, please stop, it's enough. You do tawbah and forget about the evil you're committing. And then his reply used to be, خلني وربي. Leave me and my God. Is not none of your business. Don't talk about it. Then hatta wajadtuhu yawman ala zambin ista'azamahu. He says one day he found him committing something so great, it was evil. When he saw him doing it, and he said, please stop doing this. And he said, leave me and my Lord. Abu Ista alayna raqiba. Has Allah sent you as somebody to monitor us, to go and check on whatever we do? Faqala wallah. He said, I swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yaghfiru Allahu laka abada. Allah will never forgive you. Wala yudkhiluka al-jannah abadan. And you will never enter paradise. Qal, the report of this hadith, Abu Huraira says, Rasulullah said,
فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِمَا مَلَكًا Allah sent an angel to these two. فَقَبِضَ أَرْوَاهُمَا And he took the arwa, the souls of the two persons. Both of them died. فَجِتَمَعَا إِنْدَهُ And then the two met before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِلْمُذْنِبِ Allah said to the one who committed the evil, he used to enjoy the evil. He said, أُدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِي Enter paradise based on my rahmah. He's admitting him into paradise because of the rahmah. وَقَالَ الْآخَرِ And he said to the other one, قَالِ الْآخَرِ أَتَسْتَطِي أَنْ تَحْزُرَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِ رَحْمَتِي فَقَالَ لَا يَا رَبْ He said, how come you can deprive somebody of my rahmah? إِذْهَبُ بِهِ إِلَى النَّارِ He told the angels, take him to hellfire. So, this is a hadith which is very authentic. Reported by Ahmad Abu Dawood is not a weak hadith. You can see something very interesting here. Somebody is committed to ibadah. He does not commit the evil. He always avoids it. Another one is enjoying his life. He has no limit. He doesn't know ibadah. But he knows there is God. He just can't stop doing it. It is proven, as we know, that if somebody insists on committing the evil, of course, he's the person of hellfire. That is in our understanding. But nobody has the right here to give paradise. Nobody has the right to give hellfire. Those are created by Allah. And those are not given based on the amal. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, which I've not reported its author, but if I do remember the book in which this hadith is stated, I think it's stated in Bukhari and Muslim. Yes, it's in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ يُدِكِلُهُ أَمَلُهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَا يُنَجِّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ He said, none of you, nobody, is going to enter paradise because of his deeds. Nobody whose deeds will save him from hellfire. And nobody whose deeds will lead him to paradise. When the Sahaba heard this from Rasulullah, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, O the Messenger of Allah, Wala anta ya Rasulullah, even you, O the Messenger of Allah, he said, Wala ana, even me, illa ayyatagammadani Allah bi rahmatihi. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens to give me his rahmah, I cannot enter paradise. So whatever amal you are doing, the salahs you perform a day, the zakah, the hajj, the charity you give, none of those will lead you to paradise. But none of those will save you from fire. What is going to lead you to paradise is one thing, and that is the rahmah of Allah. What will save you from fire is the rahmah of Allah, nothing else. That is the door of judgment. So here in this world, we see different people. People enjoy all kinds of things, indeed. There are those who are very close to Allah. There are those who are very far away from Allah. Because we see them committing all kinds of evil, they kill. They commit zina, they steal, they do all kinds of things. And we curse them. We curse them. And you know the meaning of la'na. La'na. Many people, they don't know the meaning of la'na. If you do la'na to somebody and say, may Allah curse him, you've given paradise. You've chased him away from hellfire as if you created the tool. Because la'na means to chase away somebody from Allah's rahmah. But who are you? To chase away somebody from Allah's rahmah, and we have just seen the hadith in which this particular person said to his friend, Allah will not forgive you because he saw him committing the evil. He deprived him of Allah's rahmah. And Allah is asking him, who are you? To deprive somebody of my rahmah. So, never curse anybody. But people keep on cursing people. Sometimes we see even in the khutbah, the Imam stands and he says, may Allah curse America. Oh, curse certain countries. But they forget that in those countries there are people who believe in Allah more than we do. But there are those who have not yet embraced the true religion. They don't believe in Allah, they enjoy committing the evil. Maybe one day they will get to believe in Allah and they die as believers. Maybe they will not have a chance to do the amal. But shortly before they die, they believe and they do tawbah. And they enter into paradise. So nobody has the right to curse. If we had the right to curse, Rasulullah would have cursed the people of Ta'if. Who stoned him?
They stoned, they ordered the children to throw stones at him, and he was bleeding. But when the angel wanted to destroy them, he said, leave them, they are ignorant. And he prayed to Allah to guide them. And that was Rasulullah. If anybody had a right to curse, Rasulullah would have cursed Abu Jahl. But he didn't. He did not curse those people. Abu Sufyan led the army of the Meccans, which confronted the Muslims in Badr, as well as Uhud. It is Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan did not love Rasulullah. He did not love Muslims, to the extent that he had to order and even lead these people to Medina to fight against Muslims. His wife Hindun did kill the Prophet, his most beloved uncle at that time, and she ate his liver. And Rasulullah felt so bad about it. But he also felt so bad about the one who did it, because she ordered somebody to just look for him and kill him, then take out his liver. And it happened. However, when Rasulullah saw this and his tears were coming out of his eyes, he did not curse Abu Sufyan, who led the army. He did not curse his wife, who ordered the killing. He did not curse the one who cut open the chest of his uncle and took out his liver. And the one who ate it, Hindun. But he left it to Allah. It was not long from that Abu Sufyan embraced Islam on the day when Rasulullah entered Mecca in the year 632, which was the 11th year of Hijrah. He entered Islam, and Rasulullah said, "Man dakhala baita Abi Sufyan fa huwa amin." Anyone who enters the house of Abu Sufyan is safe. Among the disbelievers who committed the evil to the Muslims, they fought against them. They killed them. They killed Sumayya in a very terrible way, and so many others. He said, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan, that will be safe. I'm not going to punish him for what he did. But when he got all of them together, he did ask them. Among them is the wife of Abu Sufyan, who has the fear that maybe the Prophet is going to punish her. He did ask, what do you expect me to do to you? They said, we expect good from you. He said, all of you are forgiven. Rasulullah is forgiving everybody. And the one who took out the liver of his uncle, he forgave him. But whenever he used to see him, he used to remember. So he told him, it will be good if you move out of this area and you stay far so that I don't see you to remember. However, I have nothing with you. I've forgiven you. That person is not a person of hellfire. Rasulullah forgave him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. So that was the situation during his time. He prayed for the people of Ta'if. If we know that what will lead you to paradise is Rahmah, what should you do in your life to attain the Rahmah of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman. Those who are merciful, those who are very kind, Allah will be very kind to them. Those who are merciful, Allah will be merciful to them. Irhamu man fil ardi yarhamukum man fis sama. Have rahmah on those people who are living here in this dunya. Then Allah, the one who is up there, will have rahmah on you. That is the way to paradise. But however, today when you get to know, you see the rahmah is being taken away from the people. Many people, they don't have rahmah anymore. Somebody is lying on the road, is dying, and people are just passing. Nobody cares. But somebody doesn't have anything to eat, is asking, and nobody knows. People suffering, but nobody cares. But they expect the rahmah of Allah. It's just like a person who is in the boat, which is placed on the sand, and is hoping for safety. You cannot get it. Because the rahmah, according to this hadith, you can only get it if you do have rahmah on those who are living here. It does not discriminate between a Muslim and a non-Muslim, between the enemy and the one who is not an enemy. All of them have to be treated with rahmah. Even the enemy, somebody who is fighting us, we have to treat him with rahmah. So, of course, whatever is happening today indicates that there is no rahmah. Of course, people putting the bombs and killing the people, innocent ones, and including some others don't deserve to die, all indicate there is no rahmah. However, the Qiyamah will never come. until the Rahmah will be taken away. If you remember, this one Rahmah will be taken away to be combined to the 99 Rahmah. When the Rahmah will be taken away, it won't be taken away at one time just like this. Slowly, it will be taken away. So, if you look at our situation today, it indicates clearly that the Qiyamah is very near. Because people are not kind to anybody. People deliver babies and they throw them on the dustbin. And, you know, people take their parents and put them somewhere and they don't have Rahmah on them. But they are looking forward to receiving the Rahmah of Allah, which is not possible. And it will never happen because if you don't work for it, there is no way that you are going to get it for sure. So that is a very beautiful hadith, I think, concerning the Rahmah, which everybody should base upon his life. And you look forward to receiving Allah's Rahmah after you have also had Rahmah on other people. So there are so many things, of course, which are stated here. I'm not going to go into all of them, but I just want to quote maybe two hadiths and I end this topic, because the topic is going to continue with the fear, inshallah, in our next meeting. Sabit al-Bunani says, one person became ill among the Ansar. Fajara Rasulullah ya'uduhu, and Rasulullah used to visit him very often. Fawafakahu wa huwa fil maut. Rasulullah happened to meet him shortly before he passed away during his visit. Fasallam alayhi, he gave him salam. Wa qala kaifa tajiduk? Qala bi khayr arjullah. He did ask him, how do you feel? He said, I'm looking forward to something good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, I look forward to meeting Allah and find something good. Wa akhafu dhunubi, but at the same time I have the fear concerning my sins which I've committed. I fear for those, but at the same time I look forward to receiving Allah's rahmah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يجتمعان في قلب العبد في مثل هذا الموت إلا أعطاه الله ما يرجو وآمنه مما يخاف. He said, there is nobody in whose heart happens to have two things, the fear of what he did and the hope for Allah's forgiveness at the time of death, unless Allah will give him what he hopes for and save him from what he fears. That is at the time of death. So nobody should ever die. If you have the opportunity, you are blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to die after an illness. That is an opportunity, and that is husnul khatimah. Because you can do the tawbah. You can do the tawbah. Somebody may say, how come somebody is dying and still can do tawbah and his tawbah is accepted? Yes, the ayah which is in Surah An-Nisa, which says, tawbah is not for those people who wait until the time of death. The time of death interpreted here in one hadith is when the ruh is here. When the ruh is already here, you can see the next world already. You can see the next world, but at the same time, you can also know what is happening around you. People around you, you can know them, but you cannot communicate to them to tell them about what is happening. You can hear them talking. You are just at a border, leaving the dunya, entering the akhirah. If you happen to be at this border, you see the akhirah already, and you've shown your back at the dunya, facing the akhirah, at this moment is not tawbah. So while you've not yet got to see this, you have the opportunity. If you do the tawbah at that time, and this illness does not allow you to get up to go and commit the evil again, and you hope for the rahmah of Allah, you will find the rahmah. And you'll be saved from what you fear. There is no doubt about this hadith, because it is stated by Rasulullah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not tell any lies. Ibn Abbas tells us, is ra'aytum ar-rajul bil maut. Ibn Abbas is Abdullah, the son of Abbas, one of the prophet's uncles. He says, when you see somebody dying, fabashiruhu liyalqa rabbahu wa huwa hasanu dhanni bihi. Always give him good news. Give him good news and say, you are going to meet Allah with the rahmah. Allah is going to receive you with the rahmah. When you visit somebody dying, you should always give him good news, promising him the great reward. But when he's still living, he's not ill,
فَخَوِّفُوهُ بِرَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Always make him fear the azab. Tell him, please fear. Fear the azab. That applies to the people who are living. When you meet your colleagues, remind them of the azab, so that they get the fear and keep themselves away from the haram. But when they are dying, then don't talk about the azab anymore. At that time of death, she would only talk about the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. Allah's rahmah is always very near to those who have Islam, those who sincerely believe that Allah is there. And as stated in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. At the time of death, Allah is very close to you than anybody around you. If Allah is very close to you at the time of death, it means His rahmah is very, very close to you, closer to you than to those who are not ill, they are not dying. So if Allah is very close to you at the time of death with His rahmah, which we have already seen, then think good about Him. And you die with husnul zanni billah, thinking good about Him. If you do, definitely you enter paradise. Because that has been stated in so many ahadith which I cannot get to read here. I've read only a few of them. And with this I think I should end. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينجينا من النار وأن يرزقنا رحمته وأن يرزقنا حسن الخاتمة وشكرا لكم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.